Please listen carefully.
Hello, world, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
We're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
6 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now, clearly, we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, soon it's the weekend-worthy podcast. Today is Friday, April 17th, 2020.
And here are today's top solutions. Starting off with one which should be interesting for all of us, from our environment section, showing that asthma rates plummet in Kentucky as coal plants shut down. So air pollution has long been linked to health issues, especially asthma, and coal-fired power plants are one of the definitive sources of air pollution. But it's been difficult for scientists to attribute respiratory problems of people living near coal specifically to these coal plants because a host of other factors also come into play. But after four coal-fired power plants in Louisville, Kentucky either retired the use of coal or were retrofitted with strict emissions controls, local asthma-related hospitalizations dropped, and individuals even used their inhalers less frequently, showing the impact an abrupt drop in coal-related emissions can have on people's health. The findings come from a study published in Nature Energy this week by Columbia University, Harvard, the Louisville Metro Department of Public Health and Wellness, Propeller Health, and others. Propeller Health, a subsidiary of medical equipment company ResMed, makes digital inhaler sensors to help people better manage their asthma. In 2012, the city of Louisville partnered with Propeller for a pilot called Air Louisville, enrolling residents in a program to use these sensor-enabled inhalers and then using that data to understand how the local air quality impacts those with respiratory disease. Between 2013 and 2016, when four coal plants near Louisville had a change in their emissions, one switched to natural gas, while three others installed sulfur dioxide scrubbers, which remove emissions from the coal plant exhaust, researchers saw the opportunity to take advantage of this natural experiment. In 2015, when three of the four coal power plants changed their operations, the researchers saw a 55% drop in coal-related emissions in Jefferson County, Louisville's largest county. That change resulted in about three fewer asthma-related hospitalizations and emergency department visits per Jefferson County zip code per quarter the following year, or about 400 avoided hospitalizations and emergency department visits annually. If that doesn't back up the case for closing more coal plants, then we don't know what will. And Summers, this is an interesting story right now because asthma and those kinds of respiratory disorders are closely linked as a confounding factor for people when they do get this COVID-19. So dropping asthma-related problems is really a good thing for human health. And this is, it's not just an environmental thing, it's a health thing.
Yeah, there's a painful synergy that we're seeing in the sense of the cure or the way to survive COVID-19 is actually part of what we're doing with staying at home, reducing emissions, keeping the air and people healthier. So it's an unexpected synergy in that this is teaching us how we can have a healthier world. And donut economics from yesterday as it applies to human health. So very fascinating to see the change in those rates. Before I jump to the next story, let's do a quick check-in. Christy, last week you shared with us that your sister had COVID-19. How is she doing?
She is recovering well. Before she actually got tested, she had been ill for about 7 or 8 days, and now she's on the rebound. She's not back at work yet, but she's definitely on the upswing. So that's a really good thing.
That's wonderful news. I'm really glad to hear it. And she is one of those frontline healthcare workers. So thank you to her for all she has done and for putting her own life at risk to take care of others. Okay, moving into the health section of the Optimist Daily. What neuroscience can teach us about lowering anxiety. I am a big neuroscience groupie. I suffered a traumatic brain injury in 2011, and experience the extraordinary recovery with phenomenal doctors and really got fascinated when I found my own brain reconnecting to memory and skills. So I love these kind of stories. If coronavirus has disrupted your usual daily rhythm and kept you indoors, it's totally understandable if you've been feeling a bit more anxious lately. The good news is that neuroscience can offer some non-pharmaceutical, research-backed ways to mitigate anxiety. Let's see what the science tells us. The first finding is that the absolute best non-medical way to reduce anxiety is to talk to someone else. Just connecting with someone at that simple level sends signals to the brain that mitigate the feeling that something awful might be about to happen. We humans are designed to connect with others, and we need the sound of other human voices to begin to do that at the simplest level. It makes us feel as if we're not alone, and that helps with feelings of anxiety that often develop as isolated thoughts. And of course, a conversation of the virtual kind is still possible, even now with many countries and locales in lockdown and social distancing in force. Further, we can reduce anxiety by finding something to share with someone else. Chimpanzees don't share, but humans do, and from an early age. I know that's true because Brennan's constantly trying to give me her bottle or her passy. She is sharing right away. Research shows that even babies spontaneously share with strangers without being taught to do so. Even when they're hungry, just before meals, roughly 40% of babies will share food with strangers rather than eat it themselves. So sharing runs deep with us humans. And by connecting us with others, it can reduce anxiety and strengthen our social ties. We don't always remember to honor the idea, but we are a communal species. While the most common therapy to reduce anxiety usually involves exposure to the anxiety-producing thing, about half of the people afflicted don't respond well either to exposure therapy or medication. There is another way: the development of what are called safety signals. The best safety signals involve a musical piece, a calm and pleasant place, or a friendly person or thing, such as a stuffed animal. The idea is simply to think about the chosen signal when one becomes anxious. The result is that different parts of the brain are activated than when experiencing anxiety or exposure therapy. So, if you're finding yourself anxious in isolation during this pandemic, your best bet is to communicate, connect with another human being, share something with them, or simply talk. If you can't find anyone to communicate with at the moment, then listen to a relaxing piece of music, visualize a favorite vacation spot, or think of a friendly person or much-loved possession. Yesterday, I found myself really kind of in a pit of what I called existential despair. I was really let down by someone that I thought was in my tribe and that I thought was helping our family, and it broke my heart. And the galvanization of my friends to correct my assumption that the world was no longer a good place was extraordinary. I would say that I had friends showing up to share. I had one friend show up and leave a box of beautiful produce on our front porch, and another friend show up and bring a box of wine. Not box wine, but a box of wonderful bottles of wine. And just the outreach from people who knew I was having a hard time was extraordinary. And I found my anxiety greatly reduced.
That's super nice, Summers. And I think this is a good reminder that even if our routines are upset, our feelings are out of sorts, we have some tools that we can open up and use to take care of ourselves. And I think human connection is super important. For me, my dog is a great anxiety reducer.
Yeah.
And he just reminds me that you know, everything's all right. And you know, petting him is another kind of thing that makes me relax. I love the idea of using music, calm sounds. I think good smells, you know, fragrance of flowers might be something you can use to calm yourself. We were talking about incense this morning. So I think there's definitely things to think about, and having these different signals can really help us calm ourselves down, because I think all of us are going through something right now.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, in our next solution today, this is from our health section also, and it's about volunteers fighting COVID-19 by creating the world's fastest supercomputer. Before new ways to tackle the coronavirus can be developed, scientists must first unravel the complex dynamic of the proteins that make up SARS-CoV-2, which is the virus that causes COVID-19. Doing this requires computers to perform folding calculations, a process that simulates how proteins are folded and how they move. The challenge with folding calculations is that they require a whole lot of computing power, which is why organizations called Folding at Home has been calling on citizen scientists to loan spare time on their home PCs to fold proteins, a call that has been answered by the masses. According to Folding at Home, the combined power of the network broke. This is a one with a whole lot of zeros after. I can't even say. But it broke one exaflop of operations per second on March 25th. That made it six times more powerful than the current world's fastest traditional supercomputer, the IBM Summit, which is used for scientific research at the U.S. Oak Ridge National Laboratory. By Monday, it had more than doubled that, hitting a new record of 2.4 exaflops, faster than the top 500 traditional supercomputers combined, thanks to almost 1 million new members of the network. The breakthrough reflects a huge spike in support for Folding at Home project. Backers run a simple piece of software on their home computer, which then downloads and performs small tasks to help determine the physical structure of proteins. Thus far, the combined effort is paying off. According to researcher Greg Bowman, folding has allowed scientists to visualize the spike protein that COV2 uses to invade human cells, something that wouldn't be possible with current observation techniques.
That's really, really exciting, and I love the idea of just everyone who is getting involved in how to help with COVID-19. I don't know if you saw the article about Apple and Google getting together to use computing capacity to help with COVID-19 as well. And I know that it can be scary for people with information technology and computers tapping into solutions, but there is just unbelievable capacity in the human created computers to achieve solutions for this. So this makes me very excited.
Yeah. And I think one thing that's interesting to think about is that our world, which is super interconnected, it's a global world, a global economy, we're moving all over the place. And that's part of why this outbreak has become a global pandemic, is that we have to use the tools that we have. We have to use the technology we have to try to solve this problem and be mindful of what it means. But it's actually an opportunity for us to really use this interconnectedness to advance our cause, not just be harmed by it. And so This is this kind of interconnection, and the fact that creating this massive supercomputer just by millions of people signing up and helping with this Folding at Home project. And each of us, really, each of our individual minds, we're a computer. So we have 8 billion computers on this planet who are all problem solvers. And that's how I like to think about it. And if we all put our minds towards solutions, we don't even know what we might come up with.
Well, and that is at the basis of the Optimist Daily, is recreating consciousness to a problem-solving mindset. So let's get all those billions of computer brains working together for solving problems. Next up in the environment section of the Optimist Daily, this is another fun story. Retreating ice in Norway has revealed treasure troves of Viking artifacts. At the Optimist Daily, we are deeply concerned with global heating and its melting effect on Arctic glaciers. But as a publication that is always willing to see the silver lining in any situation, it's been fascinating to see what archaeologists discover as the ice retreats. Recently in Norway, researchers discovered a lost Viking mountain pass strewn with artifacts, according to a new study in the journal Antiquity. When the researchers traipsed into the abandoned mountain pass that is rapidly melting due to warmer global temperatures, they found broken sleds, tools, and other elements of daily life dating back nearly 2,000 years, as National Geographic reported. They found nearly 1,000 artifacts that run the gamut from 300 to 1500 AD, with the mountain pass falling out of use after the Black Death in the medieval period. The researchers used carbon dating to pinpoint when each finding is from. The bulk of what they collected comes from the period around 1000 AD, at the height of the Viking era, when trade and mobility in the region peaked, according to The Guardian. It is a dream discovery for any archaeologist, and one that reveals to us the rich history of ancient Viking life.
And Summers, both you and I have Nordic ancestry, so this is sort of an interesting story. I'm also trained as an archaeologist and an anthropologist, so I find these things very interesting. So
just to think that our ancestors could have been hanging out together up on that trail.
I like that idea, Summers.
We've known each other through many lives, Christy. I know it's true.
Yeah. And our next solution comes also from the Nordic regions. This is from Iceland. This is in our health section on the Optimist Daily. And it's a recommendation from Iceland for this natural remedy to help with social isolation. Given that humans are by nature social animals, in a time when close contact and embracing is discouraged to slow the spread of the virus, such preventative measures can take a toll on many people's well-being. And I know that I am really missing hugs right now, Summers.
Me too.
But since we don't know exactly for how long physical distancing will keep loved ones out of arm's reach, for now, Iceland's Forestry Service has a lovely alternative, tree hugging. As a forest ranger, Thorfinnsson explains, when you hug a tree, you feel it first in your toes and then up your legs and in your chest and then up into your head. It's such a wonderful feeling of relaxation, and then you're ready for a new day and new challenges. But aside from the novelty of the idea, there's plenty of science to back it up. The Japanese have been practicing and studying Shinrin-yoku, which is forest bathing, for years, and the evidence is clear. Spending time in nature has numerous benefits for both mind and body. Back in Iceland, forest rangers in the Hallormstar National Forest have been clearing paths to allow visitors to safely amble among the arboreal huggies. Just like in supermarket checkout lines in the U.S. and elsewhere, the rangers have marked spaces of 6 feet of distance to help maintain the social distancing. Thor recommends not rushing to hug a tree. Holding a tree in your arms 5 minutes a day, he said, should be enough. Adding that closing your eyes while doing so adds to the therapeutic feeling you get from the embrace. So if you're missing that remedial feeling of a warm embrace, try harnessing nature's healing energy instead and hug a tree. And this just cracks me up, Summers. I think I might go try it though in my backyard, but
I love this story. It is so charming. I don't think anyone listening to this story wouldn't be smiling. And, you know, tree huggers or folks who aren't fans of tree huggers alike are going to like this story right now. I think everyone should go safely from a good social distance while wearing appropriate PPE, hug trees.
And this is right on the, you know, this weekend coming up, I think, is Earth Day, or next week is the official 50-year anniversary of the first Earth Day here in the United States. So I think we should all hug trees this weekend.
I'm in. I am definitely in. It's happening. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Optimist Daily Update today and hopefully this entire past week. We promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
And please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. For just $5 a month, you can support reader-funded independent journalism and be a part of the solution, changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset.
Thanks, everybody. Have a fantastic weekend. Check out theoptimistdaily.com and our social channels over the weekend for more content and great stories that will inspire you.
And go hug a tree. Thanks, Summers.
Thanks, Christy. Bye, everybody.